So it's Sunday morning, and it's likely your day off. And perhaps maybe you turn to your family and you say, well, hey, let's go drive up to the Kettle Moraine State Forest, because there's this wild locust honey-eating preacher whom everyone is talking about. I mean, he's bound to be at least a little bit more interesting than another level on that puzzle game on your iPhone or Android phone, or scrolling through your Facebook feeds, or watching people's lives crash on Twitter. And what is the first thing that comes out of the mouth of this preacher when he looks out at you and amongst all those who are there? Not in the name of Jesus, but you children of snakes, you brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath which is coming from God? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. Because even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And every tree that does not bear fruit, does not produce fruit, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now you might be thinking, well, just hold on one second. You don't know me. You don't know my life. How rude of you to say such a thing. Children of snakes, really? Who does this guy think he is, calling me a snake? Well, St. Luke lets you in on a little secret. His name is John, and he's been shouting in the wilderness, and not too many people have been listening. He's been preparing the way of the Lord. And every valley will be filled, and every mountain will be laid low, and every crooked way will become straight, and every rough plain will be made smooth. And at the end of time, all flesh shall see God. You see, John is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise, of the Lord's promise, to send His messenger before he comes. John's father is Zechariah, as you know. And filled with the Holy Spirit, Zechariah says of his newborn son, you know the words from the Benedicamus, the Benedictus from Matins. And you shall be called the son of the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the compassionate mercy of our God, whereby the sun will appear and arise upon and illuminate those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And to direct your feet into the ways of peace. John, you see, is preparing the way of the Lord. He's not some fanatical religious nut on the street corner. The Lord chose in His divine will, in His election, to use John to prepare the Lord's way. And John's preaching is a call to repentance, which leads to the forgiveness of sins. And only because John prepares the way, and Jesus comes on that very way, does the sun dawn upon those who sit in the shadow of death. You see, it was under those circumstances. It was that preaching. It was that man, at that time, in that place, that Jesus chose to reveal himself, advent himself. And only after that preparation did Jesus appear. only after that preaching of repentance can repentant sinners be forgiven. And now here you and I sit, generations and generations later. We sit in relative comfort and ease with all sorts of things, especially compared to a Judean wilderness. But here's the thing. John's still preaching the same message. Though much has changed, nothing has changed. But is this the message that you came to hear? Is this the message that you need to hear? Well, that depends upon what you're waiting for. That really is the question that John is asking you. Because if you're not waiting for anything, why did you come here in the first place? I mean, did someone tell you to flee to this place so that you might escape the coming wrath of God? Or did you come out of curiosity? Or out of felt necessity, dragged here by your parents, but you really don't want to be here? Did you come because this is what people do on Sundays for nostalgia's sake? I mean, we certainly didn't come here because all of our family and friends are doing it, because they're not. I mean, what are you waiting for, and for what are you preparing for? I mean, today you come out of your homes, away from your work, away from your play, away from your recreation, whether you know it or not, to come and hear this baptizer, this John. So you might as well hear his question. Are you waiting for the Messiah, the Savior? And do you want to be ready when he suddenly appears or comes? If not, then why are you here on this second Sunday in Advent? Because that's why John's here. That's the only reason why he's here. That's why he's preaching. If you and I are not here to be prepared for the second coming of the Messiah, when he will come to judge the living and the dead, then John has nothing to say to you and us, to you and I. I mean, this is not the place to wait for lunch. This is not the place to wait for your friends. This is not the place to wait for the time for the game to start or wait for your week to begin. This is the place to wait and to confess the coming of Jesus Christ, not only in the flesh, but also in judgment upon all flesh. St. Augustine writes quite perceptively, "Will not the Lord come again in later times when all the peoples of the earth shall lament? He came first in preaching and filled the whole wide world. So let us not resist his first coming, that we may not tremble at his second coming." Now, after that, you might think that John's goal is just simply to insult people. Well, it's not. I mean, he's not very Christmassy, but he's not intending to insult people. Like some sort of shock and awe, hooting and hollering, really angry, fiery preacher. He knows something about us that we often forget, that we're sinners, or as he addressed us, snakes. Snakes that resist mightily, their heads being crushed, their wills being crushed, their control of their life being crushed. John knows that crooked things don't like being straightened, and he knows that roads don't like being smoothed out. I mean, think about it this way. If you're trying to save a person from a burning building, you don't worry about all the cuts and the contusions and all the minor injuries that they might suffer. You don't worry about their hurt feelings, about how you carry them, or their bruised egos. You do whatever you have to do to pull that person out into the fresh air, out of that burning building, out of that car that's on fire, what have you. It's the same way with John. John grabs us by the hand, by the foot, by the leg, by the hair, by anything that he can grab onto, and to pull with all his might, that we would be dragged out into the bracing air of God's judgment and away from it, because it is coming. He calls us to pray that God would heal, literally the Greek word is scoliosis. The scoliosis, you know, the curvature of the back, the curved soul, the bent soul that is corrupted. He calls for crooked snakes, children of that ancient serpent, Satan, to be straightened, to shed their skin, to pull off that dead and dying skin, and to get rid of everything that hinders them and hampers them and obstructs them of listening to the Lord and doing justice and doing mercy and carrying out righteousness. Now, you may know how snakes shed their skin. I didn't, because I'm terrified of snakes. I didn't even want to look it up of how they do it. So nobody put a rubber snake in my drawer. Nobody. I know, it's just asking for someone to do it. I know. But I looked it up, and then I was like, okay, this makes sense. John's words make sense, because a snake removes its dead skin in two different ways. By rubbing up against something that is sharp, to itch is scratch an itch, or to wiggle its way through a very narrow place. A narrow place. Well, John's way is narrow. And if you haven't realized, his words are quite sharp. They're not Christmassy with all the deck the halls and all the wonderful lights and everything like that. His words are sharp enough. So what does it look like then in our earthly life to shed that skin? What does repentance and the fruits of repentance look like? Well, it's daily confessing your sin and receiving the forgiveness of sins. That is, returning to your baptism and recognizing that it's not ever a past event, but it's a present reality that is constantly working for you and is a promise made to you by God that you are His child. It's also coming to the sacrament as often as it is offered here in God's house. And then from that, it is works of love. Like sharing your coat with someone who is really cold, or helping someone who is hungry by getting them something to eat. It looks like honesty and integrity and mercy, responding to the needs of your neighbor in love. It looks like the law of God applied in love to your neighbor in whatever particular vocations you have in this earthly life. If you're a parent, clothe and feed your child. But even more so, make sure that your child hears the word of God and is catechized to know the faith and to trust that faith. And if you're one in position who you take money from people and you require money from them, don't take more than what you are owed. And if you're a soldier, do your soldier duties and carry out your orders as best as you can without external sin. And if you're a pastor, preach the word in its truth and purity and administer God's sacraments according to the way that He has instituted them for the sake of His church. And do whatever love requires of you to do. Those are the necessary fruits of repentance. But it is repentance itself that prepares the way for Jesus to come not in wrath, but to come in mercy. It's the gift of His holy word from the mouth of John and all His servants throughout the generations that prepares His way in you and for you. It's confessing your sin in order that you would receive the forgiveness of your sins. And that the baptism of repentance that is preached by John in the wilderness prepares you to be washed daily by the baptism of Jesus. So, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, daily shed your snake skin by confessing your sin. Do not resist His first coming that you would end up trembling at His second. In other words, hear His word. Not the word necessarily, not the word of John, but the word that John has been given. And to see that this Lamb, so long expected by the generations, has finally come. And that He comes down from heaven with pardon and peace. And that we haste to Him with tears of sorrow and repentance. That we know that one and all are forgiven at His altar and in His house. So that when He comes in glory to judge the living and the dead, and the world is wrapped in fear with this coming judgment, He will shield us with His mercy. And with words of love, He will draw near to you. Stay a while with this John and hear His word, which again is not His word, but the word given Him by the one who sent Him, that is Jesus. Do not haste so quickly to the manger. Wait a while out here in this Advent wilderness, and John will prepare you, I guarantee it, for that full celebration of the Christ Mass on that glorious Nativity of our Lord. Because the Lord who is the Lord whose way John is preparing, is coming to you. And that means what's coming to you is what He says is coming to you, and that is that all people, you included, will see the salvation of your God. In the name of Jesus, amen.